This is Ready, Set, Reiki, a podcast about Reiki, this universal energy life force. From the curious beginner to the seasoned master teacher, welcoming all systems, all lineages, and all levels. Reiki is a journey, not a destination. And on this Ready, Set, Reiki journey, we refer to ourselves as guides rather than hosts, as we too are traveling, supporting each other, and learning on this Reiki journey as well. And with that said, I am your first guide, Tracy C. Wright.
I'm your second guide, Millie Pampina.
And today I am honored to have a wonderful guest. Her name is Kate West. She is an intuitive healer, spiritual mentor. She is deeply passionate about transcending consciousness through healing and personal growth. She is a believing in our greatest elevation is found through comprehensive mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual harmony. As a teacher of self-compassion and spirituality, she considers herself an ally for those who wish to transcend personal suffering to embody their highest potential and expression of self. Welcome, Kate West, to Ready, Set, Reiki.
Hi, thank you so much for having me and for that wonderful introduction.
Wonderful. And we're going to just dive right in. We told our listeners just a little bit about you, so let's find out more. So buckle up, listeners. So let's start with, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So I started my spiritual practice when I was 13. I grew up in a rather chaotic environment that was not very peaceful by any means. And I've been introduced to meditation around 13. So I would go into the bathroom, which was one of the few places I had privacy, and I just learned how to open up my chakras. And I immediately found a sense of peace. And there was just something that always compelled me to keep that practice throughout my life. Meditation was just this ally that allowed me to find grounding and harmony and balance during tumultuous and stressful moments of my life. So throughout high school, I was just always sort of interested in exploring spiritual practices and consciousness exploration, especially during college. And that led me to becoming a holistic nutritionist, which is what I received a master's in. And as I was practicing, so I received my master's in 2019. I started practicing right before the pandemic, the beginning of 2020. And at that time, I was working with a naturopathic doctor who was referring her patients to me. And I was developing these medical nutrition therapy plans to complement her treatment plans. And so as I'm working on a one-on-one basis with patients, I very quickly see, okay, there's a poor relationship to food going on, and oftentimes a poor relationship with their physical body, which is creating, you know, bad lifestyle choices, poor dietary choices that have created a lot of these ailments or, you know, are heavily contributing to them. So as I'm diving into helping people heal this relationship, very quickly I begin to see, oh, wait a minute, that's actually a surface level. Like, there's something deeper here. That's actually a symptom of an even deeper problem, which was a poor relationship with themselves. So very quickly into practicing as a nutritionist, I opened up my practice and pivoted and became more of a holistic lifestyle and health coach. And from that journey, that led me into the work that I'm doing now, which is much more about spiritual mentorship, channeled guidance, and energy healing as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. So our next question is, when did Reiki or your energy healing come into your life? So did it find you or did you find it?
Yeah, it definitely found me. It was a very interesting experience. So we're going to get real out there now with the metaphysics.
That's okay. I said buckle up.
So it was, I believe, April of 2021. And I was meditating one morning. And suddenly this angelic being approaches me. And in my awareness, and so I see this being of light sort of abstract out in my field of awareness, and it's presented to me as this tunnel of light coming from this angelic being to me. And I'm sitting in the presence of this angelic being, and I'm just having all of this high frequency light just blasted into my aura. And as I'm sitting in the presence of this angel, there's not much interaction going, but I start inquiring. I'm like, okay, who are you? Who are you? And she just continues to say, I am you. I am you. And so then I asked him, like, what is your name? And she says, I am Rebecca and I am you. And so I'm sitting with her for about 30 minutes. And that was our whole interaction. And as I exited this meditation, I felt this profound sense of peace. But also I saw all of this light emanating off of my hands in my awareness. And it felt very obvious that this process, the light that I had received from this being, was not intended for just for my own healing, but I felt very much like I was meant to give it to someone else. So shortly thereafter, I'm working with one of my clients rather. And she'd been mentioning the concept of energy healing and something that her family practiced. And she referred to this book called Barbara Brennan, Hands of Light. And I got this like ding, 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 ding going off in my mind. Like my guides were pointing me, you need to look into that. So that was my first introduction to the practice of energy healing. Shortly thereafter, that was in April. So by the fall of that same year, I was sitting with my childhood best friend who is a professional psychic medium, and she was reading for me, connecting with my team and spirit. And my guides were being very adamant. They were like, Kate, you're an energy healer. You do energy healing. And I had no training. I had no idea what they were talking about other than this book that I had purchased that admittedly I hadn't really read. So I believe that was in the fall 2021, January of 2022, I hosted a masterclass, a free masterclass on TikTok, and I promoted it on a live that I had done, said, hey, I'm going to do this free training about how to become your best self, as that was really the primary focus of my practice at that time, helping people heal more emotionally and psychologically. And so there was an individual who had found me on my live. His name is David Riddle, and he attended my masterclass. So I'd asked my childhood best friend, the one I referred to earlier, to also attend the masterclass. And so when I went on Zoom, they recognized each other and like, oh, hey, David. Oh, hey, Vanessa. And I had decided as well that I was going to offer a free session to one person who attended my training. And that person was David. So David ended up being my mentor. We did a session with each other where he had been shown that it was time for him to expand his practice and actually step into becoming a teacher and trainer of the specific type of energy healing that he practiced. And of course, at that time, my guides had told me that I need to learn how to do energy healing. So, you know, in a very divine coordinated way, here's this mentor that shows up into my life. Now, he didn't practice Reiki specifically. He practiced a modality called Akashic Blueprint Integration, which is the practice that I do now.
Yes. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So as an intuitive healer, spiritual mentor, what do you find as you are going and navigating on this journey? What is a common misperception about your work?
Oh, I feel like there are so many misperceptions about my work. So I feel as though I wear many hats, which is why I consider myself, the work that I do is all intuitively guided. And I just put myself under the general term of spiritual healer because there are many different aspects of what I do. And I feel like there are a lot of misconceptions surrounding each of these things. So coaching in particular. So I started as a spiritual coach. I consider myself more of a transformational coach this time. Most people don't know what coaching is. A lot of people, I would say just in general, don't really understand what coaching is pretty much at all. So I've had to really, I feel that most coaches have to illustrate the benefit of working with a coach and what it really means. So I would say a lot of misconceptions surrounding that. Some people feel as though it's more like working with a clinical therapist. And now I don't have, though I studied psychology in undergraduate, that's not at all within the realm of clinical therapy. Coaching is a very different modality where a therapist is going to show you why you are the way you are and go really into the depths of the individual nuance there. Coaching does some of that, but it's much more about, okay, we can uncover and create an expanded awareness around your patterning. Now, what do we do about it? It's much more goal-oriented. It's much more identity work-based of allowing you to transcend any of your self-imposed limitations anywhere that you are subscribing to fear or holding yourself back and step into a more expanded version of self. At least that's how my personal practice is. So I would say there's just a lot of misconceptions around the coaching industry in general. Now, when it comes to energy healing, because the modality that I practice is so unique, most people associate it to Reiki, and it is similar. It's not completely outside of the realm of Reiki, but also sometimes when they hear the word Akashic, people assume that that means that I do Akashic record readings, and I'm doing past life readings or even past life regression hypnosis, which are all really awesome modalities, just not what I personally practice. I would say that those are some of the more common misconceptions. Overall, I feel like the work that I do is so nuanced and has such a mysticism surrounding it that it's often very difficult for me to even really explain what it is that I do, since each individual session is very much tailored to the person. So I'm really being guided with a variety of different healing tools based on whatever it is that that individual person needs to evolve.
Absolutely. That's why you are an intuitive healer.
Right.
The clarification. So, being a coach, intuitive healer, spiritual mentor, what is something that everyone should stop doing in this industry?
Oh, man. That's such an interesting question. I've been reflecting on that recently. So I'll just pull from my own sort of personal experience with this. Many of us, when we first set out on this journey of building a coaching practice or offering our services online, will spend a lot of time studying the industry and comparing ourselves to the way that other people are showing up and taking actions that other people are taking that are not actually aligned with our authenticity and will often take us out of our heart space, which is very felt. When you're doing this kind of transformational healing work, it's deeply personal. And so if you're showing up and you're much too concerned about the logistics of running a business and getting caught up in all of the, as we call them, vanity metrics of posting on social media, right? Of, oh, I put so much time and energy into this post, into this offer, and I only got 5 likes on it. Now, what is that going to mean about me? Just making it so about you and not about the heart and soul of what it is that you're here to do, which is to be in service of other people's healing and well-being, to help other people find balance and harmony within themselves. And so I would say, number one, just stop comparing your journey with anybody else. Your journey, in my opinion, this is a spiritual teaching that I work with, is the idea that life is simply a mirror reflecting back to you, yourself, in many different aspects. And so is your business. My business has by far been my biggest mirror. It's the thing that has allowed me to evolve in ways that nothing else in my life has. However, as a result of that, I spent a lot of time comparing my journey to that of someone else's. But because I have deepened my awareness and understanding that my business is simply a reflection of me, there is no comparison. No one's journey is like mine because we are all one of one, right? We are all just unique in our vibrational expression. And so stop comparing yourself just because somebody else has a podcast or they're running a YouTube channel or they have a success is showing up on Instagram in a very specific way does not mean that that will work for you. And so when you're trying those copy and paste approach, strategy approach to business, in particular, for those of us who are practicing and running businesses as well, that will be felt and that will really just detract you from the heart of what it is that you're doing. Now, when you are leading from the heart, when you are leading from a place of service, when you're focused on how can I bless someone today, right? Can you just, even for the listener now receiving those words, can you feel how much more expansive that is to be navigating from that place rather than what can I get? How can I be successful?
Yes, beautiful message for our listeners who are on a journey going into that business. So thank you. So with that, what do you wish your younger self knew about your current profession?
Oh, wow. So my younger self knew that I was meant to help people heal and become the best version of themselves. However, she thought that that came through the lens of being a doctor. A lot of, you know, my family is also in the medical field, the Western medical field, but I was not connected to the fact, or I wasn't very conscious at that time where I was really governed by ego consciousness. And so at that time, I aspired to be a doctor because I thought that that was like the highest echelon, highest status that one could attain in our society. And I felt really motivated for that reason. If you had come to me when I was applying for graduate level programs and told me, hey, Kate, you're actually a spiritual healer, I probably would have laughed in your face. I was completely unaware of inner work, of emotional healing. At that time, actually, because I'd had such a tumultuous upbringing, I'd actually dissociated from my emotional body entirely and essentially didn't allow myself to grieve or experience negative emotions or even cry, really. So my younger self, I wish that I would let her know that healing is so much more multifaceted than she has any idea. And that the physical body, in my personal opinion, based on my experiences of working with clients, oftentimes our physical body is the last place where our ailments will present themselves. Because for most people, it's not until there's something wrong with you physically that you're willing to stop and actually look at yourself and be like, wow, I really need to make time for myself. I need to prioritize self-care. I need to let go of all of my beliefs that tell me that I'm not deserving of love. And these things, when they fester within us energetically, often become disease.
Right. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. So when it is time for you to get your energetic tune-up, what are some qualities you look for in a Reiki practitioner or an energy healer, so to speak?
Yeah, great question. Authenticity, I would say, is number one. And I think that's something that's just across the board really valued today as well, because there's just so many people practicing. What's going to set somebody apart for me personally is authenticity and dedication to what it is that they do. Now, experience, of course, is preferable. However, if it's someone that I really connect with as well, if I feel that soul bond, it's really obvious to me when I have contracts with people, either through my own personal healing, my own personal experience with mentorship, or with my clients as well. So I would say just the intuitive connection with that person and an authentic dedication to what it is that they do.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I love that. So what advice would you give someone who is just entering this profession?
Let me reflect on that for a moment. I think it really ties into the previous question of what it is to stop doing. So number one, I would advise that person write out, and this is something that I actually it's an exercise I take my clients to through as well in the beginning of our journey together, is write down your why. Why do you care about this? Why is this something that you want to pursue in the first place? And get really descriptive about it. Recognize that as you navigate the journey of entrepreneurship, there's a lot of other factors at play that are going to be pulling your attention. It could be things like, I need to be successful in order to pay my bills and pay my rent next month, right? Feeling that financial pressure. It can be things like really having to navigate your ability to be seen in the public eye. There can be so much insecurity that arises in the social media space. So many facets of things, as again, understanding that your business is a reflection of wherever you are in your own journey of evolution at that point that you start entrepreneurship. So I would start with, what is your why, and get really specific about it and let it just pour out of your heart space, because the more that you can stay connected to that, allowing that to be your beacon to move forward, the more successful you will be. Every time you find yourself getting way too caught up in the minutiae of the logistics of being a business owner, I want to invite you to come back to that central why. Why is it that I want to be here? Especially when you feel like you're not being successful, when you're facing failures, which, as we all know, in order to achieve a high level of success, that means you have to be willing to fail a lot. And I also would love to encourage your listeners to be very attentive to the meaning that they are ascribing to any of the situational shifts that they might encounter as they navigate owning a business or stepping into spiritual practice. You know, let's go back to the example of posting on social media. You put all this time into this Instagram post and it gets 2 likes and 40 views. You could make that mean that you're never going to be successful, that no one cares what you have to say. It can be a whole host of things. And your job as someone who is a shepherd to this knowledge, to this wisdom, who has been truly given this mission to carry out, I really believe that any of us who are in spiritual practice, it's so much more than a job. It's so much more than a means to an end financially. It's about a duty that you have to fulfill your soul's mission on this planet, right? And so I want to invite you to take a moment and just witness yourself, witness all of the stories that are present, allow them, hold space for them lovingly, but then choose and really find a way to reframe this in your mind so that you can move forward with your mission.
Absolutely beautiful. And it is a journey, you know, and rather than that destination. So it's always good as you're walking on this journey, when there is that turbulence or plans don't go the way you expected, to kind of look for that, you know, sign that says, what is your why?
Yeah.
On that journey. And then that is your kind of pointing the direction of your true north. So that's always good advice to have to those, because you can get easily frustrated. But I look at it as kind of like a test, you know, are you, you know, really, are you meant to do this? And if you can't get over that hurdle, right, then you got to do some more of the work.
Yeah, absolutely. And just recognizing that all of your obstacles are for you. And they're here to
appreciate
you, right? And if you have that inquisitive perspective around the situation and how it's a reflection of something that you already had showing up to the situation, then you can really see the lesson, get the key takeaway of that's the gift, right? That's always the gift in all of our obstacles. And when you're able to really see that gift, see the lesson and integrate it, now you have a new vantage point to propel yourself forward. Now you can use that opportunity, as I like to say them, as leverage to propel you forward rather Absolutely. Than as a roadblock to stop
yep.
you.
And all those roadblocks can just be stepping stones, right? To boost you a little higher. So very good. Very good. So what are some books that you recommend?
Yeah. So, you know, I have been a student to life and spirituality for so long, and I've read mostly personal development related books. For anybody that's interested in energy healing practices, you know, my first introduction was Barbara Brennan, Hands of Light. However, she has a very clinical, sort of medical intuitive approach. So for those of you that are really interested in the relationship between physical health and energy healing practices, that's a great place to start. It is more of a textbook read. But for those of us who like to have that more sort of research oriented perspective, that's a good place to start. But as far as the personal development path, some of the books that really shaped me was The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. That was one of my very first introductions to the idea that we are not our minds. And he just unpacks it in such an accessible way. Definitely a wonderful read. One of my mentors who I went on to work with has a book called The Magic of Surrender by Coot Blackson. Also a very enjoyable read, mostly shared through personal story, really talking about the practice of surrender. And that was something that was very foreign to me at the time that I encountered him on a podcast, actually talking about the book. And I was like, oh, this guy's brilliant. Got to go find his book immediately. His story is really interesting as well. His father had like 75 or something, several hundred churches in Ghana. And he was a miracle healer, where people would come to him in wheelchairs and he would tell them to stand up and they would walk. Or people that had crippling diseases that would be crawling on the ground would like wipe the dirt on their face of the ground that he walked on and stand up and be healed and cured. So his lens is really interesting. So The Magic of Surrender was also an incredible read. Anything else that's standing out at this moment? Oh man, there's just been so many books throughout the time. You know, I also was really guided by Abraham Hicks's body of work. So her early books around the law of attraction were also really impactful for me too.
Wonderful. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. So our last question, two parts to it. So where can our listeners find you and what services are you offering?
Yeah, wonderful question. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak about my work and to share where your listeners could connect with me further. So I'm very active on TikTok these days. The bulk of my following is there. And as I connected with Tracy, I do host these live healing experiences roughly 4 days a week. So that's where I'm the most active. I'm also pretty active on Instagram stories in particular. The stories are a fun way where I can drop in and give you a little bit more, you know, kind of the backgrounds of my life, get to know me on a more personal level and share my little daily wisdoms and insights of things I reflect on throughout my day. Because, you know, those of us who are practicing regularly spend a lot of time, at least myself, having a Sagittarius moon, I spent a lot of time considering spiritual philosophy. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, Instagram stories is a good place to connect. And then also YouTube. I have a budding YouTube channel. I have a lot of plans for my YouTube channel. I'm very passionate about traveling and, you know, all the things related to consciousness expansion, of course. And so I have a lot of really exciting plans for my YouTube channel. So TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, you can find me at Guiding Light Healing Studio on all of those platforms.
Perfect. Thank you, Kate. This ends our part of the journey together, and I'm going to turn you over to my co-guide, Millie Pampina, who has three social media questions for you. So, Millie?
Thank you. I'm almost exhausted listening to you, Kate. My goodness. Since you were 13, you know, working with some fairly interesting individuals to come to where you're at. And I particularly enjoyed your talk about not comparing yourself to others, you know, continue down your why, because I know that all of us are, I want to say drawn to it, but then become involved in this healing field for various reasons, but there's always some similarity and underlying. And, you know, I worked in the healthcare field for many, many, many years. And I used to have to, you know, I'd worked with a lot of folks who, honestly, the burnout rates and everything were very high. And I would say to them, I know sometimes when you forget why you're here, or why you first got into this in the first place. It's difficult to step back and adapt to something new or different. I said, so thank you always for having us here, you know. So thank you for emphasizing that. I really think that that's very, very critical and important in not just this field, but many fields. That's something good to take across, you know, a lot of life's experiences.
Yeah,
so as Tracy said, thank you so much. We have three social media questions. These are, you know, she gets these from our website on and Facebook pages, and they're from our audience, and we boil them down and take the three top that are most, you know, interesting at the time for our guest and for our listening audience. And the first one we have is, what about your journey makes it satisfying and exciting, or exciting?
Oh, wow. I'll try to keep this short. and thank you so much for the kind words and the reflection as well. So I'm deeply passionate about what it is that I do. You know, as I said, it's so much more than a job. It's so, so satisfying for me anytime I get the honor of witnessing someone have a breakthrough. Now, that can come in many different ways, but specifically in my one-on-one work, when I'm offered some sort of perspective that I share, I really feel that everything that I offer to my clients, it's yes, of course, coming from my own personal research and experience, but really it's spirit. I truly feel that I'm just a channel, right? I'm simply the messenger. So anytime I'm offered some sort of reflective question that facilitates a breakthrough, and just seeing that aha moment, or watching people just release emotionally things that they've never been able to access, never had tools to manage within themselves. And I know that that's going to create more balance in their life, more peace, a sense of lightness, happiness, and fuel them with the confidence to really achieve what it is that they came here to do. Nothing is more fulfilling than that. Truly, truly so fulfilling. And I always feel that it's such an honor that I was given this mission. As I said, you know, it's really my duty here to be in service of other people. I will do this for the rest of my life. I'm sure it will appear in many different forms and fashions, as my journey has already taken so many turns, starting as a clinical nutritionist and becoming a spiritual healer and spiritual teacher. You know, I really see myself taking my work into doing live healing retreats, you know, big group experiences, writing books, things of that nature. And so knowing that anything that I can offer to really allow people to unburden themselves and be an ally to help in their suffering, nothing in this world is more fulfilling than that moment when I see it. You know, it's such an obvious shift. And then just to hear in the coming days and weeks how much that's benefited their life in a really significant way in all areas of life, right? Because I truly believe the way that we do one thing is the way that we do everything. So if we're struggling in one area of life, you may not be aware of this right now, but it has tendrils reaching into your relationships, reaching into your career, reaching into the way that you perceive yourself, your self-concept, right? So we start with one little kernel, one little tendril where you can see that there's a problem. And very quickly, I'm able to illustrate to people, do you see how this is actually the format, the platform for the rest of your life, the foundation in all other areas of life? And so when you are able to heal it at the roots, I just, I'm just getting chills talking about it. What I've seen my clients be able to achieve as a result of doing their healing work is so inspiring to me as well. People who are willing to take this journey, who are willing to look at themselves very honestly, confront things within themselves that maybe they've been avoiding or swept under the rug or didn't even know existed most of the time. You know, it's not always an easy path to learn how to step into the light of compassion with ourselves, step into the light of forgiveness for those who have wronged us, you know, as just some small examples of the work. But those who are willing gives me a reason to show up every day and gives me a reason to deal with all of the nuances of running social media accounts and running a business, right? Like if I could just show up and work with clients all day, every day, that would be great, you know? So what fuels me is the moments of transformation. And so I believe, I would say that those two things truly excite me. And also just having these kinds of conversations with people like you as well, who are interested in this work, who want to create a platform to open up these conversations. I could talk about healing, personal development, spiritual philosophy all day, every day. And I often do. It just never gets old. No.
Well, it never runs out of what I call is, like you said, one of my favorite words, opportunities. The opportunities never run dry. You know, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, you get. I always say everything has value. So everything that comes my way, no matter how it is or how it settles or where it's leading, gives me an opportunity to learn and to adjust and to deal. So thank you so much. That's a beautiful approach. So, well, okay. Now, number two, this is going to be right up your alley here. What are some of the strategies that you believe have helped you grow as a person?
Oh man, great question. So I take people through this three-step process that was modeled after my own, that I developed based on my own healing journey. So number one was awareness. Like I mentioned, when I read The Untethered Soul, and also working with Coop Blackson, one of my mentors, he was so wonderful at defining ego consciousness and allowing me to recognize and really even put words to these internal processes, these thought patterns that were really consistent that I started becoming aware to. So number one was being the witness of myself. Now, this is one of the really wonderful tools and why I feel like meditation has been also very fundamental to my healing journey and something that I cannot recommend enough. And I always really press on my clients as well to have a meditative practice, because meditation, though it is about slowing down the mind, most people feel like they can't meditate because they're like, my mind is going a million miles an hour. I can't stop, silence my mind. But in truth, it allows you to connect to the witness, which is what you really are, right? You are the space between your thoughts. You are the infinite awareness that is observing the entire inner process. And so once you learn how to self-reflect and pull away your consciousness to observe yourself, now you have the agency and authority to make changes, right? Because our mind is this incredible tool. But as also one of my casual mentors, a creator that I absolutely love, his name's In Hindsight, check him out on YouTube. He's incredible. He says, your mind is a tool, but your tools become obstacles when you don't know how to use them. And many of us are being run by our mind rather than governing our mind, right? We're being controlled by our mind rather than controlling it. And so very first fundamental thing, develop some kind of a way to witness yourself. And I always recommend meditation. There are so many ways that you can meditate. You can meditate while you're washing the dishes. You know, as the great Ram Dass would say, can you just be washing the dishes? Can you just be driving the car? Not thinking about what you need to do later, not ruminating on what happened yesterday, but just being fully present. And if you can start to just start there, that's going to give you the ability to at least switch into that space of being the witness to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Number two was the alchemy process. So I started recognizing how much my mind was simply a collection of all of my stories, right, from my past, all of my conditioned beliefs. And what I truly see is I just see our mind as a computer, and I just have all of these programs that are running on default all of the time, unconsciously, before I became aware of them. And these programs are the frameworks that we use when we navigate life. So any sort of uncertainty in the future, let's say. So I'll use a specific example to myself. I grew up in a poor family. And so my family was always, always in a constant state of fear of lack, fear that there wasn't going to be enough. And my mother and my grandmother were external processors. So they just spoke out loud of all the times that there wasn't enough money, wasn't going to be enough money. So I was deeply, deeply programmed with that scarcity consciousness. And I wasn't aware of it until I actually... funny story. In 2021, I separated from a long-term partner of 9 years, moved in with this random girl on Craigslist who actually was building a coaching business at that same time. And she turned out to be a money coach. And so she showed me how much I was governed by poverty consciousness and scarcity consciousness. And I started witnessing myself doing the same things that my mom and my grandma did when it came to approaching money. I would notice the stories and realize, wow, that's verbatim mom. And so I started recognizing I have this program of scarcity that is triggered every time I think about my future financial landscape. I got to do something about this because we are creators based on what we focus on. And I was constantly focused on the gap, the lack of money. And this is still something that I've had to heal tremendously. I've done leaps and bounds on healing my wealth consciousness. But as an example of what a default program looks like when we are unconscious of it, and this can appear for a lot of people as, you know, fear of abandonment, showing up in relationship issues, you name it, right? So number two is the alchemy. It's when I started really having the agency to recognize my programmed and conditioned beliefs and develop tools to navigate these stories and rewrite new ones. This is the concept of identity work that I spoke to that coaching really allows us to be, because when I started thinking about who is it that I want to become, right? I have this mission in this life. Who is Kate West? How do I want to present myself, carry myself? What is she thinking about? What is she focused on, right, as she's carrying out this mission? And poverty consciousness had to go. So step two is the alchemy process, right? Having tools to do the deep transformational healing work and truly change your self-concept, right? I was no longer the girl who was focused on lack. I became the woman who knew that she was the angel of abundance, right? And these are beliefs that I'm still an identity that I'm still nurturing and fostering, right? But the work truly is lifelong. And then three is the integration, right? Where it becomes second nature, where you're no longer having to reach for this idea and really convince yourself that this is a belief that you believe in, right? Where the inner critic isn't constantly telling you like, no, there's still not enough, right? It's when it becomes just so fundamentally ingrained in you that we live in an abundant universe and there is always enough and you don't even have to think about it anymore. Then that's step three. So that was the process that I took myself down and that I continue to take myself down and that I have the privilege of taking other people down as well, that has allowed me to become the woman I am today.
Wonderful.
Thank you for receiving all of that. Like I said, I'm trying to keep it short.
Yeah, no, I was actually turning my head and taking a few notes there. So I can absorb more of it after the interview. So fantastic. Thank you so much. Very enlightening with that. So our third question we have, and I think you're going to love this one too. What do you believe has been the biggest source of motivation in your daily life?
Yes. Beautiful question. As you see, I'm just smiling from ear to ear. So I'm really, really blessed and fortunate that as a child, I saw what was happening around me, which was a lot of poverty, a lot of conflict, a lot of drug abuse and things like that in the household that I was raised in. And I saw that and said, I'm going this way. I want nothing to do with this. So I will do whatever it takes to create a better foundation for my children going forward. For whatever reason, I remember being in like sixth or seventh grade, motivated to get good grades because I wanted to get into a good college and get a good paying job so that I could basically just do my family life all over again. You know, holidays were always really troubling. My family was very, just a lot of conflict, a lot of blaming. We didn't really get along with each other whatsoever. We were all very different people. A lot of trauma that was never really addressed and would just come out in these inflammatory moments, often at holidays. And so I always really longed to have a peaceful and harmonious household and to have the relationship with my family and children that I did not have. So throughout, ooh, chills talking about that. So growing up, you know, I was motivated to be successful because I wanted to give my children the life that I didn't have. You know, there were so many opportunities that my peers got to explore that I didn't get to explore. And I feel completely, I don't blame, just to be clear, I don't blame my family or feel sorry for myself at all. I also believe that we purposefully choose our family lines to work out the generational trauma. So I know I have a contract with my family. I know that I chose to alchemize a lot of this poverty consciousness because as we do our own inner healing, right? We learn this from somewhere, often our families who learned it from their families, who learned it from their families. So it's ending and breaking generational curses, right? It ends with you. So that's how I see it. I just take full responsibility over the whole landscape. And again, when we take personal responsibility for our life, that allows us to step into personal freedom and sovereignty, right? So that was my central motivation. So going throughout you know, graduate school and I thought I wanted to be a doctor. And I always was the person in my friend group that just made people feel really safe and comfortable. Very quickly upon meeting me, people were always just going deep into their deepest, darkest, their deepest, darkest secrets. And I recall, I think this was freshman year of high school. I was friends with a couple people and they were dating and it was just like all of this drama. And my friend Austin was really eaten up by it. And so he would call me in tears. And I would just go on these long, I remember just pacing outside of my apartment. I lived in this one bedroom apartment with my grandmother and uncle. And I would pace outside and I would remember it was like at nighttime and the stars were out. And I was just telling him all of this really wise stuff that I felt was like beyond me. And I would just say that, like, you know, it was just flying out of my mouth. And looking back, I can see I was channeling, you know, I was channeling higher wisdom that would allow people to move past whatever it is that they were struggling with, even at a young age. So I'm continuing my spiritual journey, right? I'm continuing my pursuit to college and for the same motivations I described. And then in 2017, I went to a sound healing experience, probably one of the first ones I've done. And it was a 432 hertz, 2-hour sound healing meditation. And so I sit down and I get into a meditative state. And I remember thinking like, okay, what do I want to focus on? And before I even had the opportunity to decide, I'm immediately taken into a scene where I'm observing from a bird's eye view and I see myself sitting on a beach and it's very like 2D, almost claymation. I can still see it very vividly. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. What's about to happen? And then the sky opens up and this beam of light comes down and scoops up my consciousness, my light body, and takes me out into outer space. And I'm given the biggest download of my life, learning about our relationship to the sun and how it's helping our consciousness on the planet evolve. Now, keep in mind, this is about 3 years before the start of our 3D to 5D ascension. People were not talking about this, and I received so much information about it. At the end of this whole like dialogue that I'm having with one of my higher, I can now recognize as one of my higher selves, I'm taken down on this little planet, like way out in space. And I get out of my little light beam and I'm walking down this corridor and it's a stone corridor with gold hieroglyphic script and I'm running my hands and it's shimmering. Like, what is happening? And I turn a corner and the room opens up and I look down and I'm wearing all white robes and there's a half stone table with other beings filing around it, also wearing the same white robes. And my higher self says, you are part of a council that's overseeing the raising of your collective universe's frequency back to source, back to love. And when I came out of that meditation, everything just clicked in. I was like, no wonder I have always cared about helping people be the best version of themselves. And in fact, I remember, I think it was like my bio on MySpace or something. When I was really young, I would always tell people my greatest passion was being the best version of myself. Now, I didn't have any spiritual like mentorship. My family was not into this at all. And it just all made so much sense. It made so much sense why I always was interested in raising consciousness and spirituality. And so that just seeing what my mission was from that vantage point gave me so much purpose and so much duty where I truly feel that I came here with a really significant reason and a responsibility, truly. So that is what propels me forward. I think that answers your question. I actually forgot what the original question was. what motivates me? Yeah. So it was the tandem of all of that.
Wow. I, and the name of your book is,
I'm in the process of writing it right now, actually.
Fantastic.
So it'll be launched in the next few months.
I will be looking forward to reading that, Kate. Thank you so much. I just, several of the things you said really resonated with me. So I was just feeling a little bit warm and fuzzy with that myself. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much for receiving that. You know, once I get going on these very passionate topics, it's I know it could be quite a lot to come through energetically. So thank you.
Well, that's okay. That's why I said in the name of your book is because you've got enough material there to produce volumes and it's very meaningful. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Now, before I move on to closing out, because that's the end of our social media questions, is there anything else you thought about while we were talking that you might want to bring up or any other contact information or anything for our listening audience?
Something that's really been coming through a lot that I feel like is really important right now to stress to your audience, and I've been talking to my audience about it, is the importance of really focusing right now, focusing our minds, focusing our intention around that it is that we wish to create in this world, right? Because our individual journeys and experiences, it's a metaphor for the collective experience that we're having as one globe, one humanity, right? And really what we're seeing is the great collapse of the old paradigms, the fear-based ways of navigating the world, the greed, right? It's the control, and we're moving into a space of unity consciousness. And so something that, chills talking about that. Something that my team has been communicating to my audience is the need to really be so aware of what it is that you want to see in this world, right? If you want to see peace, it's about being the peace yourself, right? And something else that the great Ram Dass would say as we move towards this idea of being a more loving and conscious and connected world is that, you know, being able to anchor compassion in this world through the lens of, you know, it's not their suffering, it's not his suffering, it's not the, you know, homeless person that's having a mental health crisis on the street, it's not their problem, it's our suffering. Right. It's our suffering, because until all of us are able to really heal and evolve, then none of us do. Right. And I just want to offer that perspective of how could you maybe integrate just a little piece of that as you navigate throughout your day, especially during the holiday season when there's always so much just heightened energy. And also because the state of the world is in such a disarray right now, doing your best not to focus on the fear, not to focus on the negativity, not to focus on the lack, not to focus on the stressful thoughts, and just to become a little bit more aware of, am I engaging in this in a daily way? Yes. And if so, you know, how could I become a little bit more peaceful internally, right? Because as you anchor that vibration of peace, that's going to affect the person in line at Starbucks, right? In front of you, even if you say nothing to them, if you're standing there harmoniously and you're just offering a beacon of peace around you, that will vibrationally benefit everyone. And maybe like the pay it forward effect, right? Quantumly, it has a ripple effect. Maybe that person who was stressed now suddenly is washed over this feeling of peace for some reason that they can't explain. And wouldn't that be such a beautiful thing for you to be a participant in?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, that ends right now what I have on my agenda for you. So I really appreciate meeting you, Kate, and having you join us. And again, I'm Millie Pampina, and I am your co-guide here on this journey of Ready, Set, Reiki, and part of now Wellness, Feather Sister Wellness. So again, thank you. And I have a small tagline I like to leave people with that may resonate with you. And that is, to see beauty in everything is a choice. So please choose wisely. Mm. And with that, I'm going to send it over to back to my other co-guide, Tracy Seawright.
Thank you, Mimi.
And I want to thank you again, Kate, for joining us and being a guest on Ready, Set, Reiki. Thank you so much. Okay. For anyone who is interested in submitting a question for one of our guests, you can reach out to us at www.readysetreiki.com or check us out on social media. We also are on Feather Sister Wellness, which offers a variety of classes, including yoga, meditation, Reiki, and Reiki training. So check us out. So thank you so much. I have been Tracy Seawright, and this is Ready, Set, Reiki.